Good morning, and welcome to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, from the Sun Sound Studios in Flagstaff. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist and New York Times best-selling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and meditation centers worldwide. His books are available in 28 languages and include Making Great Relationships, Hardwiring Happiness, Just One Thing, and Mother Nurture. His work has been featured on the BBC, CBS, NPR, and other major media. And now, Just One Thing. What can you do when there's nothing you can do? The practice: love someone. Why? Sometimes something happens. Perhaps your sweet old cat takes a turn for the worse, or there's a money problem, or your son waves goodbye as he gets on a plane to start college on the other side of the country. Sometimes it's on a larger scale. Maybe there's an election and you're grappling with its consequences. Or you might be dealing with something ongoing, like a dead-end job, or no job at all, life after divorce, chronic pain, or a teenager who won't talk to you. Whatever it is, at first, it's normal to feel rattled, frozen, or unclear about what to do. After a while, you do what you can to change things for the better. But often, there's not much you can actually change, and sometimes nothing at all. Still, there is always one thing you can do, no matter what. You can always find someone to love. Besides the benefits for those on the receiving end, as Shelley Taylor at UCLA has shown, tending and befriending others can lift your own mood while lowering your stress hormones. Also, at a time when you may feel powerless about the wider world, at least locally, here and now, you can make a real difference. Love is never defeated, heart after heart after heart. How? By love, I mean a wide range, including compassion, support, friendliness, encouragement, appreciation, and cherishing. It can be expressed in simple or subtle ways, such as a call to a friend, more patience with a partner, saying what you liked about a coworker's idea, or seeing the being behind the eyes of a stranger passing on the sidewalk. And if love is not expressed, it's still real and it matters. For example, when things happen at any scale that are or could be awful for others, from your daughter's friends turning against her, to a turn for the worse in a country, to the planet overheating and species dying, it's natural to feel a sense of moral outrage on behalf of other beings. This is a kind of love, even though there is no place to put it. Or you might sense the weariness in the person sitting across from you in the subway and feel some compassion and goodwill. Perhaps you think about a friend with appreciation or smile to yourself about what a goofball he is. It's all love. It's been very important to me personally to claim an inner freedom to love. I've had frustrating struggles trying to get others to love me or to receive my love. But no one can stop us from finding and feeling love inside ourselves. Love feeds us as it flows out of us, soothing, calming, centering, strengthening. Slow it down. Listen longer. Make room for the heart. Who else could you love? You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, bringing you Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. And here's a quote from Dr. Rick. Love is a lot like the air. It may be hard to see, but it's in you and all around you. And here's another Just One Thing. What's nearby? The practice? Love your neighbor. Why? This practice might sound extreme or pushy, and I want to tell you what I mean by it. Everyone has lots of neighbors, and they come in many shapes and sizes. Obviously, the people living across the street are neighbors, but in some sense, so are the people you live with. Friends, relatives, coworkers, all the people you know are neighbors. So are the people at the market or walking past on the street. Other living things are neighbors as well, such as cats and dogs, birds and bees, ants on the kitchen counter, and plants and trees. There's also a neighborhood inside each of us. The human body contains about 100 trillion cells and at least as many microorganisms that are neighbors too. Plus, consider your mind. My own mind is like a village with many characters at different stages of biological and psychological evolution, chatting or arguing with each other. All the parts of your mind, the pushy internal critic, the playful child, the longing for lasting happiness, the calm voice that talks you off the ledge, are neighbors of a sort. In the largest sense, the neighbors of your neighbors are your neighbors, which means that every living thing is your neighbor and mine. Wow. Walt Whitman got it right when he wrote, "I am large. I contain multitudes." What should we do with our neighbors? Ignore or hate them, or recognize and love them? The latter is sure more moral, as well as much wiser in terms of cool, clear self-interest. Mess with your neighbors and they will mess with you. Treat your neighbor with respect and goodwill, in a word, love, while also standing up for your own fences, needs, and rights. And you're more likely to build a lasting peace with them, with benefits for both of you. The value of loving our neighbors is true at all scales. As you may know, the longer quotation I'm drawing on comes from both the Old and New Testaments of the Bible, in which it is said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." I understand this as both moral instruction and a clear statement that what we do to our neighbors, we do to ourselves. If you hate or push away parts of yourself, they go underground and get smelly. The mind is like a septic tank, not a flush toilet. If you are a bad neighbor to people you know, you burn bridges and end up alone. In terms of your country and world, as Gandhi said, an eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blind. And if humans drive neighboring plant and animal species into extinction, we poison the wellspring of our own survival. How? I've already written about making peace with, in a sense, loving the parts of your own mind. I'll leave the topic of neighborliness with the human microbiome and all the little critters inside to others who, unlike me, know what they're talking about. I've written a fair amount about relationships with our closest neighbors, friends, family, and coworkers. So I'll focus here on the wider circles of neighbors, the other humans in a country and world and our planet, and our planet's other living things. We begin with compassion. I once asked a teacher of mine what he was focusing on in his personal practice, and he said, "I stop for suffering." It takes both benevolence and courage to keep your heart open to the pain of another being, especially those who have harmed you or others. Even if you can't do a single thing, your compassion is still real and still matters. Next, we recognize injustice. We try to be strong enough to tolerate the alarm, moral disgust, and outrage that's natural to feel when hearing about hungry children, tsunamis and famines, and bombs falling on refugees to prop up a dictator. And big enough to recognize injustices suffered by our adversaries, whether at home or abroad. Then we do what we can. That could be political action, such as encouraging more people to vote. For example, about 100 million Americans could have voted in the recent presidential election, but did not do so. Or it could be supporting a cause close to your heart. We can also take local actions related to global issues. For example, human activity currently produces about 100 million tons of carbon dioxide a day, which is 40 billion tons each year, roughly half of which stays in the air to cause global warming, while a quarter sinks into and acidifies the oceans. Among other consequences, this will cause mass extinctions of plant and animal species. It's easy and eye-opening to calculate the carbon footprint of your own household. In addition to shrinking it, you can offset it through organizations that plant trees or build clean energy projects. It costs just $30 or so a month to offset the footprint of a typical American household. Loving your neighbors, all of them, the great and the small, seen and unseen, liked and disliked, expresses inner freedom. Watching politicians on the news, sometimes I think to myself, You can't stop me from loving you or from doing what I can to defeat you the next time around. Hate, in all its forms, poisons the heart, while love protects and feeds it and strengthens us to stand up for others and stand up to others. The more bitter the times and the more divisive the conflicts, the more urgent it is to be neighborly, with clear eyes and a kind heart. Then, in a deep sense, you're at home wherever you go. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And here's another. What's carrying you? The practice? Lived by love. Why? Feeling both the world and myself these days, one phrase keeps calling. Lived by love. Explicitly, this means coming from love in a broad sense, from compassion, good intentions, self-control, warmth, finding what's to like, caring, connecting, and kindness. Implicitly, and more fundamentally, this practice means a relaxed opening into the love, in a very broad sense, that is the actual nature of everything. Moment by moment, the world and the mind reliably carry you along. This isn't airy-fairy, it's real. Our physical selves are woven in the tapestry of materiality, whose particles and energies never fail. The supplies, the light and air, the furniture and flowers that are present this instant are here, available, whatever the future may hold. So too is the caring and goodwill that others have for you, the momentum of your own accomplishments, and the healthy workings of your body. Meanwhile, your mind goes on being, while dependably weaving this thought, this sound, this moment of consciousness. It's hard to sustain a felt knowing of the nature of everything. The brain evolved to keep our ancestors afraid, to keep them alive. But if you look and look again, you can see directly that right now and in every now, you're alive. You're cradled by the world and the mind like a child carried to bed by her mother. This cradling is a kind of love, and when you trust it enough to soften and fall back into it, there's an untangling of the knots of fear and separation. Then comes both an undoing of the craving that drives suffering and harm, and a feeling and fueling love living through you and as you out into the world. Imagine a single day in which you were often, not continuously, not perfectly, lived by love. When I try this myself, the events of the day don't change much, but my experience of them and their effects improve dramatically. Consider this as a practice for a day, a week, or the year altogether. More widely, imagine a world in which many people, enough people, known and unknown, the low and the mighty, were lived by love. As our world teeters on the edge of a sword and could tip either into realistic prosperity, justice, and peace, or into growing resource wars, despotism, or fundamentalism, it seems to me that it's not just possible for a critical mass of human hearts to be lived by love. It's necessary. How? The essence of this practice is yielding to all that lives you. This is a paradigm shift from the typical top-down, subtly contracted, moving out from a unified center of view and action way of operating to a relaxed, receptive, abiding, feeling supported by the ocean of causes, creating each momentary wave of awareness. Then, on this basis, there is an encouragement of love in all its forms to flow through you. The suggestions that follow are different ways to do this, and you can also find your own. Soften and open in the heart. Notice that you are all right now. Listen to your body, telling your brain that you are basically okay. Feel the fullness that is already here. All the perceptions and thoughts and feelings pop, pop, popping in this moment of consciousness. Feel the buoying currents of nature and life, waves of gifts from over 3 billion years of evolution on the blue and green pebble. Look around and see objects, including your own hands and body, and consider the unfailing generosity of the material realm blossoming for over 12 billion years from a seed of light. Be aware of the warmth and goodwill from others toward you. Sense you're connecting to others and how you are supported by a net of relationships. They don't have to be perfect. Some people do care about you. You are almost certainly loved. Feel carried by consciousness, the effortless knowing of perception and thought. When stress, worry, pressure, or pain appear in the mind, see that the fabric of this suffering, the underlying operating of the mind, is itself fine, is always already fine. Again and again, making this little but profound shift, this giving over to the carrying cradling of mind and matter, you can afford to let your own love flow freely. Bring this down to earth. If you lived from love in your first encounter with another person today, how would you be? What would you do? How would you speak? What would a week, a year be like in which you lived by love? How about trying this? Who knows? If enough people share in this practice, the world could become a much better place. Let love's currents glide you home. You have been listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. We are so busy these days that it's great to have just one thing to focus on, a simple theme to reflect on and be inspired by. These practices are grounded in brain science, positive psychology, and contemplative training. They are simple and easy to do, and they produce powerful results. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.